With KCBX News, I'm Greta Mart. This week, there is a key event related to the proposed closure of the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant in San Luis Obispo. Last year, plant owner Pacific Gas and Electric announced it would not seek to renew its operating license and planned to shutter the plant by 2025. The state agency that approves openings and closings of nuclear power plants is the California Public Utilities Commission. On Thursday, the CPUC is holding two hearings in San Luis Obispo, one at 1:30 p.m. and another at 7 p.m. to hear public comment on the proposed closure. To hear more perspective on the proposal and the process, we invited guests to the KCBX studio who have opposing viewpoints on nuclear power and Diablo. First, we will hear from a spokesperson of a group that is fighting to keep the plant open far into the future.
My name is Dr. Gene Nelson, and I'm government liaison with Californians for Green Nuclear Power Incorporated. We're a 501c3 nonprofit based here in the San Luis Obispo area, and our job is to keep Diablo Canyon running well past 2025.
So tell me, how did you guys form, and what is your history?
Well, we formed because we were really concerned about global warming. And so we have a group of environmentalists and scientists. And we got together. We started meeting at a local restaurant. And gradually, one thing led to another. And so we were advocating for the plant and actually cooperating very well with Pacific Gas and Electric until the folks at Beale Street decided, hey, we're going to do this surprise negotiation with traditional opponents of nuclear power, and we're going to call this a so-called joint proposal. We always use the term so-called because it was done in secret. And we think that there were crass commercial purposes for PG&E to actually make this happen. And we're fighting it tooth and nail. We are, in fact, the lone California Public Utilities Commission intervener that is advocating both for the environment and the ratepayer. We have four PhDs working with us, again, all on a volunteer basis. I'm one of the four. I also teach at Cal Poly in Cuesta. I have a PhD in radiation biophysics. And when we found out, just like the community did last June 21st, PG&E is planning to pull the plug on Diablo Canyon, that really told us, all right, we're going to have to get down and we're going to have to fight. And fight is exactly what we've been doing. And we've been making quite an impact. PG&E won't tell you that, but we can read the tea leaves quite well. And so I want to go into a little bit more detail as to what's at stake here. Really, this is about a crucial turning point in California energy politics. The special interests that have run the state's energy policy have been fossil fuel interests. So, for example, we have Sempra, one of the nation's largest sellers of natural gas, also known as methane. And, of course, I hope you recognize that methane has about 100 times the greenhouse gas potential as carbon dioxide. Why is that important? Because Sempra mismanaged their Aliso Canyon storage field, causing the world's largest methane leak back a little bit more than a year ago. And so this has caused huge problems in Southern California. Now, why was Sempra pumping gas into the Aliso Canyon storage field? Well, because Sempra, being part owner of the San Onofre Nuclear Generating Station, that plant had been taken offline because the owners mismanaged a routine service operation that's been done at countless reactors. And so that reactor went offline. Now, that reactor produced the equivalent of five Hoover dams running 24/7. And so Southern California was really dependent on that energy. And we think that there may have even been some intentional mismanagement of the process, because it turns out when you look at the harsh numbers, they show that you make more profit with selling fossil fuel than you do with nuclear. And that's the real problem here. We've investigated this whole issue very, very closely. And so, for example, there is the Idaho National Labs, which is one of the nation's energy labs, conducted a cost study in 2016, and they found that the generation cost at Diablo Canyon was 2.71 cents per kilowatt hour. Now, that actually undercut what the generation costs are at several other PG&E plants. Now, PG&E didn't want us to know that, but we found it, and we made sure it went into our filings. Again, we've put out about 1,000 pages. We're also working with some really top-notch attorneys, many of whom are really concerned about the environment and have been either donating their services or charging us much less than they would charge otherwise because they care, just like we do, about the California environment. And also, where are we really going in this country? Do we really want to have lower emissions? Or do we want to just have business as usual, which is, of course, what you actually accomplish by loudly promoting solar and wind? And why is that? Because both power generation means produce insignificant amounts of power. And furthermore, with solar, the big problem is it's all produced at a time when it's not really needed. So in fact, what the California Independent System Operator has to do is disconnect some of those solar facilities so the voltage doesn't get too high on the grid. Isn't that special?
So tell me again, why do you feel that PG&E now has made this decision to take it offline?
The issue actually revolves around a very obscure concept called capital cost recovery, or CCR for short. And imagine that PG&E is a bank, and they want to do a big project. Now, in the case of Diablo Canyon, that project has a basis of around $8 billion. That's $8 billion. And so what they can do is, over the useful lifetime of the asset, they can charge us, the ratepayers, interest on that, and that interest largely flows to the shareholders. So PG&E is really good at this process. We've learned that they're one of the best investor-owned utilities in the state as far as working this process to maximize their returns. They're typically getting between 10 and 11%. That's obviously higher than the prime rate, but that's a perfectly legal because they're very lightly regulated by the California Public Utilities Commission. So we end up paying all of that in our power bills. And already, if you actually go out and look at what the rates are in California versus the rest of the country, we're paying some of the highest power bills in the country. And it's in part because utilities have figured out how to game the system and maximize their CCR. So in the case of Diablo Canyon, the plant was designed with components, many of which will last a century. It's just like a large hydroelectric dam, really robust, like rebar as thick as your wrist, 6 layers of it, and 3 foot of concrete to surround the containment. I mean, this is big, heavy-duty, beefy stuff. I've worked at the plant, and I really have a keen appreciation, just like essentially all the workers do. They have pride in that plant. It's very safe, it's very reliable, and it's been producing very low-cost power.
I'm sorry, let me stop you right there. So some people say, well, what about Fukushima? It's exactly the same kind of setup where it's right on the coast. If there was an earthquake and a tsunami, how come we wouldn't be in the exact same position as Fukushima in Japan?
Pure fear-mongering. Absolutely pure fear-mongering. Diablo Canyon, the lowest components are 85 feet above sea level, and the very careful modeling shows that the highest expected tsunami is 33 feet. Basically, the plant is designed to be super, super rugged. That, in part, accounts for its cost. It's been designed so that it will withstand any earthquake from the most likely source of that earthquake, which is the Hosgri Fault. And it has a healthy safety margin beyond that. So, for example, there was a local earthquake here in 2003 that occurred up north of Paso Robles. The plant has intense seismic instrumentation. The plant continued to operate without a hitch during the entire thing. Now, mind you, in Paso Robles, people died from that earthquake. But this plant is built, again, incredibly rugged, incredibly beefy. There actually are public tours so that you can see for yourself on the power deck, not in the part where the reactors are, but on the power deck, you can see how rugged things are, the huge support beams. And just everything is built super, super strong. In fact, if there was a big one, that's exactly where I hope I would be. Now, I want to also talk a little bit more about earthquakes because some people will make the false equivalence and say, oh, yeah, well, look at the big earthquakes that can happen on the San Andreas Fault. Well, the history of California geologically is there have been countless earthquakes which have caused countless fractures in the rock underlying the state. Every time earthquake energy encounters one of those fractures, it gets attenuated. It gets weaker. And so the San Andreas Fault is more than 30 miles away, so even if there were vigorous shaking along the San Andreas Fault, it wouldn't cause harm, it wouldn't exert large forces at the plant. So tsunamis, earthquakes, it's all fear-mongering. What else do we have?
Okay, got it. Now, I just had Congressman Carbajal in that seat about a couple hours before, and I asked him, I said, hey, I got this email from this group. I hadn't heard of them, but what do you think of this? And his response was, well, I think the train has left the station. It's already a done deal that Diablo is going to close. What do you say to that?
The thing is that billions of dollars are riding on this, and PG&E would love to have everybody believe the train has left the station. And the reality is there's this group of really a feisty group of experts and attorneys that are saying, no, the train is still stopped. It has absolutely not left the station. And in fact, we have to go back to the bedrock principle for the California Public Utilities Commission, which is that any decision has to be made in the public interest. Now, taking offline California's largest generator by far, produces, again, five times the power of Hoover Dam without a speck of carbon. There's no smokestacks at Diablo Canyon. And replacing it with fossil is actually very harmful. Now, wait a minute. You say, oh, no, we got all these nice windmills and we got all these nice solar things. Well, they're just not up to the job. We recently completed a filing with the PUC where we established that Diablo Canyon in a recent half-year period produced significantly more energy than all the wind generation in California and, in fact, almost slightly more than all of the solar. So you pick solar or you pick wind, and Diablo Canyon, this one tiny little plant, is equal to all of that.
Okay, just wrapping it up, can you just boil it down for what you guys want?
Okay, so first of all, don't buy into the fear-mongering. The fear-mongering is a big business, and we happen to think that it's actually funded by fossil fuel interests because nuclear is the only meaningful competition to fossil fuel. So we need you to become informed. You can go out to our website at cgnp.org and learn lots more about what's really going on. You actually see some of our filings. And again, we need you to reach out to elected officials. We're really sad. We've gone to local officials, and they basically said, oh, we're happy with our one-time payment. And I'm saying, hey, wait a minute, $1 billion a year into the local economy? Let's keep that flowing. Let's keep the power flowing. And the best way we can do that is to fight this nonsense, this selfish, these special interests that either are traditionally opposed to nuclear power or can derive billions of dollars in profits. That's what we need to stop.
That was Dr. Gene Nelson of the nonprofit Californians for Green Nuclear Power. Next, we spoke to two members of the San Luis Obispo Mothers for Peace to hear why they never wanted the plant to open in the first place and are now working to close it as soon as possible.
Jane Swanson, I'm a spokesperson for San Luis Obispo Mothers for Peace.
And I'm Linda Seeley. I'm another spokesperson for the San Luis Obispo Mothers for Peace.
Our full title is San Luis Obispo Mothers for Peace. We invented ourselves in 1969 as a peace group, anti-Vietnam War, hence the name Mothers for Peace. After the Mothers for Peace stopped the Vietnam War in 1974, we realized that we were also active in opposing atmospheric testing of atomic weapons because of the radiation released into the atmosphere. And so we made the connection between the fallout from bomb testing and the fallout, if I can call it that, from commercial nuclear power plants. So it wasn't until 1971 that we became aware that PG&E was starting to excavate to build the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant. And to be honest, we didn't know what a nuclear power plant was, but we figured we better learn. And then we realized, okay, wait a minute. We formed because we were worried about needless loss of life, about radioactive fallout, and this too could lead to a needless loss of life. And nuclear waste is not good for children or other living things. And so we moved our energy there. Most of our involvement has been with the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the federal agency that is supposed to protect the public. We don't think they do that very well, but they're supposed to protect the public as well as monitor nuclear facilities of all kinds. And that's why people assume we're a global or national organization, because we deal with a federal agency. But in order to have legal standing to do that, we had to show that our membership all lived within a 50-mile radius of the Diablo Canyon plant. So we're very local.
I did have Dr. Nelson from Californians for Green Nuclear Power in, and he went down a list of all the reasons they are in favor of keeping Diablo Canyon open. Mothers for Peace, as I understand, are advocating for an even earlier closure than the planned 2025. Tell me about that, why you want it to be closed even earlier.
For us, all along, we have been opposing the opening, and we have tried to get it shut down ever since it opened. And that's because, basically, of the nuclear waste that's there. Right now, we have over 6 million pounds of highly radioactive nuclear waste that are sitting at the intersection of at least 13 earthquake faults. Every day that the plant is open, they make more of this highly radioactive waste. There is nowhere to take it. It is there on site, and for the foreseeable future, it will stay on site. So it doesn't make sense to create this extremely toxic substance with nowhere to put it. It's like building a luxury hotel and not putting in any bathrooms and letting the hotel open. That's the problem.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. And as far as the decision to close Diablo Canyon, Mothers for Peace did not make that decision. We tried to make that decision back in 1973 and every single year since then. But we were not successful because our reasoning was on the basis of safety, it should not be operating. PG&E made the decision. They made the decision to close it at the end of its current licenses in 2024 and 2025. There's two reactors, so different dates. So PG&E made that plan on the basis of economic reasons. And I posted on Mothers for Peace Facebook page, it's a public page. I published the link to a PG&E document, not a Mothers for Peace document, the PG&E document online that explains the economic reasons for why the corporation wants to shut the plant.
I want to back up just a little bit because I remember the gentleman from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, he said that there is a very tiny amount, that there is really tiny amounts of spent plutonium or
spent nuclear fuel.
Okay.
Actually, that's a misnomer because when you hear the word spent, me, when I'm spent, I'm tired. I don't have any energy. Spent nuclear fuel is about a million times more radioactive than it was when it went into the reactor in the first place. Because the way that they make the nuclear reaction is by colliding ions together and creating energy that way. And so these fuel rods that go in the first place have all of these nuclear reactions taking place to create heat. The way they make electricity there, they create heat with a nuclear reaction that boils water that turns a turbine. So basically, it's a very archaic form of energy. It's very 20th century, and we're not in the 20th century anymore. We have much more streamlined kind of energy that we can use, solar and wind. They're doing experiments with wave energy through Cal Poly now, right? So there's all sorts of innovative energy systems that are coming online. And when they said that it's a small amount of waste, it has to be kept separate from the biosphere for up to 250,000 years. It remains toxic. So even if you have a, quote, small amount in terms of what we have, 6 million pounds, to me that's not a small amount. One micron of plutonium, if you inhale it, it gives your lungs cancer. So it's a very false comparison. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Right, right. Volume is not the right unit to use in comparing right. It should be the lethal qualities.
Right.
And of course, the worry is that of accidents. Fukushima is the worst of all. The industry and PG&E say, oh, that won't happen here. We have the best engineers. Our plant, our walls are thicker than anybody else's. Well, it's not the concrete walls that are going to release radiation. I mean, at Fukushima, they said the same thing the day before March 11th, 2011. They said, we're the best engineered plant in the world. We have great staff here. We have a very sturdy plant. Well, they did, but they didn't calculate on that massive earthquake and the massive tsunami. So at Diablo Canyon, the coast of California is riddled with earthquake faults. And PG&E has studied the known earthquake faults in that area. They have studied them. They have spent lots of money that came for the ratepayers. They have spent lots of money on it and had experts, and good for them on that. But that's not the total picture. Because if you look at the magnitude 9 earthquake faults that have happened in the last 20-some years, they all happened on ruptures. That means it's a place where the earth moved violently, where there had been no earthquake faults. When you study faults, you're studying the past, but you're not predicting the future because you cannot foresee a rupture. That's the definition of a rupture. It means, holy crapola, there's something going on down here, and look what happened, and the earth moved sideways or horizontally or vertically or whatever it did. And although the concrete domes at Diablo are extremely solid, we're not worried about the domes, but there is sensitive electronic equipment on vertical towers that are much more susceptible to ground motion. So there are a lot of things that could go wrong, and we don't think that a corporation wishing to make money should be playing Russian roulette with the total population of people, animals, agriculture, land. And that's why we're pushing the California Public Utilities Commission to get the plant to shut down in 2019 and 2020.
Okay, and the earlier date, that's because it would save 5 years in the accumulation of more of these spent fuel rods.
That's right.
As well as the dangers of an operating nuclear power plant. An operating plant is much more dangerous than one that's shut down. You still have the waste there, so that's a problem. But the danger level decreases very much once the plant is closed.
And what is Mothers for Peace legal standing in? You're not part of the Joint Powers Agreement or the Joint
we
Agreement.
Are not.
So what standing do you have in this whole process right now?
Well, we have standing at the California Public Utilities Commission. And right now they are making the decisions about how this shutdown is going to go, how the money will be allocated, every single detail about the shutdown. They can make the decision about it, and they can also choose. We have expert witnesses that we have brought forward in three different areas at the Public Utilities Commission. One is our seismic expert, who talks about exactly what Jane just mentioned about the vulnerabilities of the plant to a seismic incident. A second one is our nuclear engineer, Arnie Gunderson, who talks about the aging components at Diablo Canyon and the dangers, actually, of having this piping that was built in the 60s, underground piping, all kinds of gadgets that inside the plant that are old, and are they tracking them? They know they're old, and they're trying to keep the plant going. I want to backtrack just for a minute, because I want to say something about the nuclear waste that people really don't understand. Once nuclear waste is made, once these elements have been changed, they can never be unmade. It is so long-lasting, and we have no way to deal with it. There is nowhere to put it. This is not just a problem at Diablo Canyon. It's a problem at 104 nuclear plants around the United States and all over the world, over 450 nuclear
right.
plants.
France has tons of nuclear plants.
France has
plants.
Them. They're building them in India now like crazy, and in China is building them. And people worry that the safety measures in those countries are not as stringent as they are here. But so it's a very, very serious problem for our entire Earth. It's not local here. This is why we work with other groups from around the country and around the world, because we have a sense of responsibility about this material that's been made. And if we don't keep talking about it, it gets swept under the carpet. They pretend it doesn't exist. They talk about how it's carbon-free, a great source of carbon-free energy. Well, it's not carbon-free. I'll just very quickly, in the mining of the uranium, the milling, the processing, the transport, the upgrading of the uranium, the building of a nuclear power plant, the cost of storing the nuclear waste is very carbon-intensive.
And furthermore, a lot of people don't understand that the energy needed to run Diablo Canyon and to cool various components, that comes from off-site power. Diablo does not run on its own power. That would be extremely unsafe, because if they had any problem, and sometimes they do shut down on purpose for maintenance or because there's a surprise, a problem they have to address. So it's sucking in electric energy made elsewhere, probably by fossil fuels.
Okay, got it. And so just wrapping up, where are your energies most focused right now?
Right now, largely with the Public Utilities Commission process to determine the exact nature of the shutdown.
That was San Luis Obispo Mothers for Peace members Jane Swanson and Linda Seeley. You can find more information about what Dr. Nelson from Californians for Green Nuclear Power spoke about at the website cgnp.org. To learn more about the Mothers for Peace and their efforts, visit the website mothersforpeace.org. The California Public Utilities Commission meeting on Thursday, September 14th, will be held at the Ludwig Community Center in San Luis Obispo. With KCBX News, I'm Greta Mart.